Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Previously, I've mentioned how animals of all species tune in to the alarm calls of members of different species. This occurs because alarm calls tend to be short and have a certain strong emotional charge that one doesn't normally hear in the communication of species at other times. Perhaps one exception to this is the canine alarm call. If you happen to live in a neighborhood where there is an untrained, unconfident dog who alarm barks at every little thing, if you want to retain your sanity and not become embroiled in a battle with your neighbor, you quickly learn to tune the alarm call out. Of course, then one must deal with the problem of the little boy who cried wolf. When the day comes that the animal barks at something that is truly alarming, will anyone pay attention to the dog? I know in situations where I've tuned out dogs, I certainly wouldn't. But aside from that, scientists wanted to know how long it would take an animal, in this case birds, to make the link between a certain sound and a potential threat or predator. So they created an experiment in which they used a superb fairy wren, a little bird that is indeed superb. Superb in color, superb in every way. They trained the wrens by broadcasting unfamiliar sounds, including the alarm calls of unfamiliar species and even some synthetic sounds. And when they broadcast a sound, they also aimed fake predatory birds at the fairy wrens. In only 2 days, 8 out of 10 wrens would flee when they heard the sound. The scientists were surprised that this happened so quickly. But it seems to me if you get your calls right, if they fall into that pattern of other alarm calls, it would be easy for animals to generalize from one alarm call to another. Unfortunately, alarm calls open the door to deception. Animals may use fake alarm calls to drive animals away from food and other resources. And while they're fleeing, the deceiver swoops down and steals what they left behind. When I read about this study, I was reminded of a manuscript I read for a friend of mine. The book was a thriller with a wildlife theme, hence my interest in it. Just in case our hero's plan started to go down the toilet, they came up with a warning call, a word that would signal that there were problems and they needed to get out of there as quickly as possible. The word that was chosen was merganser. Now, merganser is the kind of word that you could say in conversation, or you could even shout out, and it would have no meaning to a lot of people. Unfortunately for me, as soon as I heard the word merganser, two things went through my mind. The first thing I thought of was duck, because mergansers are ducks. But if our heroes had ducked under those particular circumstances instead of run, they would have been sitting ducks, and very shortly thereafter they would have been dead ducks. And the second thing I thought of was how my brain made that connection between merganser and duck, rather than merganser and get out of there, meet back at headquarters. And so in that particular case, the alarm call didn't work for me. But it also made me realize how difficult it must be for animals to come up with alarm calls that get the right message to the individuals that they want to receive it. As I mentioned before, there are deceivers out there. If they know what that alarm call means, they'll know how to use that call to their own advantage. And that's probably the way the evolution of intelligence works. You come up with a system that works, and then you come up with someone who tries to beat the system. And then you refine your system. You refine your vocabulary. And at the same time, it's constantly the cost-benefit analysis. You don't want something that is so cumbersome that you fool the deceivers, but at the same time, you fool the individuals that you want to save. So all in all, look out. You don't want to be deceived. You don't want to be preyed upon. So you need to keep your eyes and ears open. Fortunately, at least based on the experience of the incredibly superb fairy wren, we should be able to do that in a remarkably short time.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.